This is Pure Decking, show number 252 for Thursday. What the fuck is today? March 2nd, 2017. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current cyberpunk world, information security. And good God, I'm tired. I'm Morps, and tonight I have... Are you 486? Are you...
Ooh.
Drinking, oh. Eating...
Water.
And Sipel.
Water, water, water. Just regular water.
Just regular water. Madman! We have a madman. What are you drinking? Apparently he drowned.
He's drinking a long silence.
It started out as water, but then we stuck some grain and some yeast in it and let it distill for a bit. And now it's bourbon.
Oh, for a bit there, I was afraid you were having a tall glass of shut the fuck up, so...
I had to sneeze, and then I forgot that, you know, if you don't hit that button again, no one hears you.
And returning to the show after 3 years, I think?
Yeah, about that.
About that. Syntax, what are you drinking, Syntax?
I have a pint of Newcastle and a couple of fingers of 10-year-old Draconel.
Nice. And I am currently drinking Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale. And, Syntax, were you surprised that we haven't changed the sound clips at all?
Nope, not at all.
Same intro clips and everything.
Dude, when you went to prison and we said nothing would change, nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed, yeah. Yo, it's good to be out and to see that something is still, you know, a constant.
So, anyways, we can continue to make up stories about what all happened to Syntax in prison. Or we can go on to the first article. I'm open to either one, actually.
Okay, so when Bubba touched you the first time, did you shank him immediately, or did you let him tickle your balls first? Because I know... You can get a little desperate, and love is love at this point, right?
and you know, it really is. You know, I didn't thank him for a couple of months, and not until, you know, he just got a little clingy and needy.
See, once again, nothing has changed. Straight to the rape jokes.
There we go.
Don't ease into it.
Well, no, that would be the point, not easing into... Oh.
Well, you know, I did learn a really good phrase there, which is don't clinch, because it's going in anyways.
I always liked the line, there's either going to be shit on my dick or blood on my knife. You decide.
Holy shit.
I've been having fun with the Quake sound all night. Anyways, first article is actually from Sophos' Naked Security blog. Speaking of prison, so, anyways, this is awesome. Meet Michael Thomas, a real-life bastard operator from hell. On December 5th, 2011, he quit his job as an IT admin for a startup called ClickMotive. This was no ordinary resignation. This was the mother of all IT admin resignations, the type of blow-it-all-to-smithereens resignation that some, many, sysadmins dream about. But on the day he called it quits, he left a few things. His resignation letter, his keys, his laptop, his entry badge, his offer to stay on as a consultant, and a trail of tears for whoever came in Monday to find that Thomas had deleted 615 pages of ClickMotive's backups, the pager notification system for network problems, half a dozen wiki pages, the employee's access to the VPN. So as he was going out the door, he just nuked, like, VMs and systems and shit. You know, the actual fuck it all, burn the place down on the way out, right?
Wow.
According According to court documents, he also tinkered with email servers at the Texas company, which sets up and runs car dealership sites. Thomas also cut off contact with the company's customers, large auto companies and dealerships, by shipping the names of company employees and executives from employee distribution groups, or by sniping the names of company employees and executives from employee distribution groups created for customer support. In June of 2016, Thomas was convicted of a... Good God, it took him 5 years? Was convicted of a single court count of violating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act in the Eastern District of Texas. He was sentenced to 4 months he had already spent in pretrial detention, 3 years supervised release, and to pay restitution. I'd love to know how they came up with this number. $131,391.21.
Because 20 cents wasn't enough.
I mean, where do you get these numbers? I mean, obviously they had a formula or something. Somebody didn't just go, let's give them $135,000. I mean, come on.
21 cents.
Yeah, 21 cents. After a 3-day trial, the jury found Thomas guilty of knowingly transmitting programs, information, codes, or commands that intentionally caused damage to his employer's computer system. That he lacked authorization to cause the damage, and that those damages incurred losses to the employer in excess of $5,000. Standard Computer Fraud and Abuse Act shit, right?
Yeah.
But his lawyer, the well-known hacker defense employee, Tor Eklund, Thomas's role as a sysadmin gave him all the authorization he needed to routinely delete the sort of files he deleted on his last day at QuickMotive. So now he is appealing his conviction in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans on these grounds. His defense, sure, he did a ton of damage to the systems intentionally, but it wasn't without authorization because he was still employed at the time he did it.
When you're your own boss...
Your Honor, it's not arson. I was allowed in the building when I was spreading the gasoline around. And when I was smoking, it was in the smoking break room.
In fact, every sysadmin is authorized to access all the systems he accessed, and they're authorized to do things he did. Delete backups, edit notification systems, and tweak email. That's part of their job, the argument goes. Well, loosely defined. Another part of his appeal that should have managers jumping on their phones with the lawyers and digging in the policy manuals. And this is classic. There was nothing... manage and use... Oh, this is from his appeal. Michael Thomas had unlimited authorization to access, manage, and use QuickMotive's computer systems and was given broad discretion in his exercise of that authority. Huh. Looks like a mix just hiccuped, so the recording looks like it's still going fine, though, but the stream may have, in fact, hiccuped. That would kind of suck. Anyways, oh, God, the cat is climbing on something in the closet. This is going to end well. Thomas was handling all of the routine duties of a sysadmin, deleting data, managing user privileges, and more because his friend, colleague, and the only other employee working in IT administration had recently been fired from QuickMotive. If carrying out those parts of the job constitutes damage, isn't every sysadmin liable for getting sued under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act? Well, kind of, since they can... because the computer... So, here's the thing. Computer Fraud and Abuse Act never actually defines authorization. It just says authorized or not. So it hasn't really been tested in court, but companies have basically been able to like retroactively take authorization away. Bullshit like that. So it's a bad law. it's not well written. So
well, wasn't that law written in the late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, I want to say most of it was actually written in the early 70s, but...
it was originally targeting phone freakers, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Let's see. Thomas was handling all the routine... I already read this. Eklund argued Thomas's guilty verdict is dangerous for anyone working in the IT industry, and it should worry any admin that's ever hit the delete key in the course of their duties. If you get into a dispute with your employer and you deleted something even routine course of your work, you could be charged with a felony. So they're saying this is going to set bad precedent. From the appeal, the central issue in the case is whether Thomas acted without authorization. If he performed the same actions in a manner that was contrary, or even if he performed these actions in a manner that was contrary to the employer's interests. During his trial, Thomas's defense team explained how over the weekend during which he did the damage and quit, he had been in the office to deal with a denial of service attack on ClickMotive's site and to repair a cascading power outage problem. Those 615 backup files he deleted, they were replicated at other servers on the network. Eklund told Wire that ClickMotive's treatment of Thomas has been pretty shattered, considering they've destroyed this guy's life over the fact that he worked on a Sunday to keep the company going and then deleted the files on the way out to say fuck you to his boss.
Okay, so what, you've got sysadmin, he's on his day off, gets a phone call, get your fucking ass in here, there's something wrong with the system, no ifs or buts about it, do it now, gets in there, busses home, only probably to get a phone call going, you fucking done yet, I've got email fucking problems, and he's just going, you know what, stick this job up your ass.
Yeah, I mean, he made some pretty poor decisions in fucking over the systems on the way out the door. It's much better just to simply copy all of the authorizations and credentials you can find onto a nice non-trackable medium as a sysadmin, you know what they're tracking, what they're not, so that you can later sell. I need to stop talking.
Really, the only thing you should have been charged with is being a dick.
I don't know. I mean, he fucked up their systems. If being a dick caused financial loss, then yeah, he's responsible for that.
Syntex, you've got some professional experience in the field. What do you think?
Did he really cause, what was it, 200K in damage? I mean, I doubt that. He was wholly authorized, on one hand. On the other hand, I think if one of my admins was to go and do that on his way out, there's... One, our policies and procedures are a little more verbose.
Anybody with a piece of change management document has their policies covering this.
Yeah. So, yes, he got fucked. Yeah, he probably deserved it. And I think he probably knew as he was doing it. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm not going to get a good recommend. I don't think it was... jail time and financial ruin.
I'm thinking that's the same thing. He figured he was gonna fuck him over, and when it came time to job hunt, he just wasn't gonna put that boss down on his resume as a recommendation. So he probably thought, well, they'll get over it. You know, just do some on the way out the door. I mean, hell, I've had to clean up after doing that. It's usually not even that hard. Roll your backups. Yeah,
and this is how you go to jail for 3 years.
That's true.
Yeah, I see what you did there. And, I don't know. He's got big balls when he left his resume saying he'll do consulting for the company.
No, that's actually part of the strategy. You know, the idea is, you know, well, look, you guys didn't even make it a couple of days. Your VPN server's fucked up. Your email's not working right. You know, you lost a ton of backup. Here, let me see what I can do. Yeah, that'll be $100 an hour or whatever the consulting rate would be.
The question is, did he quit or did he get fired?
He quit.
Yeah, that's real hard to be like, hey, I'll consult for you when you're quitting. He didn't think that through.
Yeah, it's kind of a dumb scheme there, because it's like making a mess, quitting, and saying, "Yeah, no, I can consult if you want me to fix this shit." You know, and then you know, so the idea was to hold him hostage for whatever it was going to take to fix the email server and the VPN kind of stuff. I guarantee that's what this guy was thinking.
Well, then you know, if he's going to do that, he may as well just jump onto some site and get himself some ransomware and make it look like it wasn't him, and then he comes in and fixes everything because he has the codes.
I doubt he's that bright.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Usually if you're trying to make yourself look like the hero to get the bonus, you don't you don't be so quite so fucking obvious about it. And they knew he did it, obviously.
Yeah, when you're the one person in a one person department, it's kind of obvious.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Thing shit through.
But I can see if they're doing automotive sales, I'm kind of thinking the 131,000 could be a low number depending on how long it took them to get their systems back up.
Well, they didn't do automotive sales directly. They built websites for automotive companies.
Okay. Okay, so if it's selling, I can build you a website. That number does get thrown into question for me. I know, at least when it comes to automotive parts or automobiles in general, 131,000 is nothing.
Oh, sure. When you're dealing with that level of, corporate property, but. This sounds more like it was a small startup that did, marketing, really. So.
Then in that, I can see punishing him for any possible lost sales, but ruinous punishment, that's not a deterrent. Because at that point, it's like, who cares? If I just won't have a job. Try to collect. I'm judgment proof.
Yeah. Well, they tied him up for 5 years, too, so I doubt he's had much luck getting another job while he's like, yeah, I'm in court with my previous employer. So, I mean, fuck, if I was interviewing somebody and, you start doing the background check and you go, yeah, this guy's being sued by his previous employer for, destruction of property. Yeah, I don't think so. So.
I would still have him in an interview and be like, all right, so what did you do?
Well, it's like the S3 outage, right? I mean, it's like you'd hate to be. It's like, oh, I see you used to work at Amazon. Are you the guy that fucking broke S3? I mean, there's an interview question. So
yeah,
yes, but that I learned from that well. Mistake, and I double check every colon from now on.
That guy may as well go to culinary arts now. I don't think he would probably ever get a job in tech again.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's move on to the next one here. This is from TroyHunt.com and is hilarious. If I can figure out how to work my keyboard, there we go. And in the IRC, there we go. Data from connected cloud pet teddy bears has been leaked and ransomed. This is fucking hilarious. The Germans had a good point. Kids' toys, which record their voice and send the recordings to the web, pose some serious privacy risks. It's not that the risks are particularly any different from the ones you or I face every day with the volumes of data we produce and place online. It's that our tolerances are very different when kids are involved. Let's skip ahead a bit because this is this guy giving personal anecdotes about why he cares about kids. Kaya isn't the first connected toy to raise concerns either. It was just over a year ago. It was Hello Barbie making headlines for precisely the same reason. It's a cool idea, and no, this guy doesn't want his kids exposed. And then you had the VTech data breach. So let's skip ahead past all those personal anecdotes, which brings us to Cloud Pets, a brand owned by Spiral Toys, which is the toy that represents the nexus of both the problems discussed above, kids' voices being recorded and their data consequently being leaked. So what these things are little stuffed animals that have camera and microphone built into them. And they record conversations with the kids, and they send it off to a cloud service. And I'm not going to finish reading the rest of the blog article because it's not very useful. But somebody figured out that this CloudPlet service was storing all the recordings, all the logs, everything these things did, into a MongoDB database. With
plain text, it looks.
Plain text, yes, and the default settings for MongoDB.
Dude, when we first started talking about these toys a year ago, I think, on this show, This is exactly what we said would happen.
So basically, Mongo, by default has no security on it whatsoever. So anybody could connect to it once they found the address, dump all the data out of it, delete things, do whatever. And so there, this is the same database system we were talking about the bots a few weeks ago doing ransomware attacks on, just by connecting, deleting all their shit and leaving a note saying send bitcoins and we'll give you your data back. Of course, they didn't have the data to give. They just deleted things because you could look in the logs and see that they didn't download it first. So, but yeah. So all these recordings of people's kids and the logs and the, you know, everything they're doing was being stored in this database with zero security on it, just floating around on the internet. Somebody found it with Shodan. There were like five. There were like three or four ransomware notes in it, and yeah, all the data, and it's been totally published or, you know, collected. So, cloud connected toys are cool and all, but make sure you kind of know what they're doing, and if they're recording, which just assume anything with a microphone is probably recording most of the time. Yeah, be aware of that shit. So,
I'm just amazed.
Go ahead, Syntax.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through and looking what data is dumped, and it is literally everything. This is like hilarious.
There's no security on the database.
Frightening. Yeah, nothing. So my question is, could you make your own recording and then send it to someone's toy?
Yes. I'm sure you could if you knew the format of data to plug into the database. And I mean, you'd have to reverse engineer what their programming does to know what to plug in there, but yeah, I bet you could.
Oh, no, the weird messages these dolls would start saying.
Yeah, like, I'm just thinking, no, this is fine. We need to move on. This is fine. No, everything's cool.
Hey, kid, I need recharged. Put me in the microwave.
Well, it's good to know you can buy a Faraday cage toy box.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
$170.
Why do I think those are going to start getting more and more popular?
Why do you think I changed the intro of the show? Yes, we're in a smoking cyberpunk world where you need a Faraday cage to store the teddy bear. I mean,
was the teddy bear supposed to try to have a conversation with you? I'm just wondering, why the fuck is it recording shit in the first place?
I don't know. I didn't watch the video. I didn't care enough about this fucking stuffed doll. I just was more amazed that this company just stood up a MongoDB database, didn't bother doing anything other than, hey, it works, and started shipping the toys.
So, yeah, really, I really did not love how people are like, you know, like, oh, we're not going to use SQL because it's so insecure, so we're going to use Mongo.
Yeah. You know, it's so secure, you don't even have to authenticate to it.
I wouldn't quite steal the kid's data. I would have too much fun having these things read, like, A Road to Serfdom to a Kid or The Communist Manifesto, and then just start playing Jethro Tull.
Ooh, the Unabomber Manifesto.
Wow, some sort of deviant art project, you know, erotic SpongeBob fucking stories and shit like that.
God.
Now we're going to start warping the children. Yes, are you? Hey, you do that as well.
You're talking about a guy who used to play Screwdriver through a Teddy Ruxpin.
I used to use it as a tape player and just play whatever I had around in it.
Yeah, it was always great when you plug like a Pink Floyd tape or something into it and the mouth would occasionally move to it.
What's even better is like hardcore gangster rap in a Teddy Ruxpin, because it's mostly spoken words, so it moves a lot. It's hilarious.
Okay, so now you know what I kind of want to do. I want to get on Amazon and get a Teddy Ruxpin, if you can. Now I'm curious. They're not Amazon, eBay.
Yeah, they're expensive though, aren't they?
I'm getting ready to find out. Let's just see.
And then get Ben Folds' cover of Dr. Dre's Bitches Ain't Shit.
Oh yes. No, I just want to get one of those audio cassette adapters they used to sell for cars. So you can just run it straight into your computer or plug an iPod into it or whatever. So,
There's nothing better than having Teddy Ruxpin sing Screwdriver's White Power.
I was just gonna go on the Stormfront website and get some of their videos and play that through it.
Let's see. Teddy Ruxpin.
You wanna really get people offended? Start playing some PewDiePie through that shit,
man. Let's see. Original 1985 Teddy Ruxpin and Grubby Animated Bears accessories, $250.
I'm finding them for 40, 45.
There's one for 30. There's one for 12. Oh, okay. I see the expensive ones are the ones that haven't been opened or never used.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, there was a guy that put the Amazon Echo into a Billy Bass fish, right? So, he published the API publicly on GitHub. I really want to kind of yank the internals of a Billy Bass and put it into a Teddy Ruxpin and have my Amazon Echo be a Teddy Ruxpin.
Because, I'm half tempted to order one of these things just for like plugging a Raspi inside of one and, you know, seeing if you can actually. I have a 3D printer. I could totally make one of these things actually animatronic, not just the face moving. Oh god, that'd be creepy as fuck seeing it. Teddy Ruxpin was already kind of a creepy teddy bear, but he's, you know, moving around and blinking in the eyes. Now, gets up and walks around somebody's house at night? Oh fuck yes.
Creepy. Or as much fun as setting fire to a Tickle Me Elmo.
I saw that video.
Come
That's
hug
awesome.
Me while he's on fire. It's satanic and amazing.
All right. Next article is from Amazon, actually. And it's just they published their summary of the S3 service disruption. We don't use the word outage because, you know, that has SLA agreement, culpability. So basically, one of their employees used a command to remove some of the back-end server nodes so they could do some troubleshooting. And I guess he fat-fingered it or mistyped it or didn't understand the command correctly. They don't really say. They just say an error in the command. And he, removed, a very, very large chunk of the servers that run S3 from the back-end cluster. So if anybody who was wondering why S3 was down the other day, it was because of this guy. And the fix for it actually required doing a rolling restart through S3 as they got their servers back up. And Amazon apparently hasn't done this in years, so they weren't sure it was really going to work. And the entire U.S. East 1 region was out. So any websites that were having major problems, such as isitdown.com yesterday, or the Amazon service dashboard yesterday, are obviously hosted in U.S. East 1. And there were a ton of other websites that were having problems.
And what you're saying, Is It Down was down.
Is It Down or Not was down, yes.
Oh, God damn it.
I can't check him. Is It Down is down. Is what It Down is down.
You know, Trump in office, Is It Down being down. What a year to be alive.
Yeah, I was affected by it where I work too. Great fun. And the business people scream at you. It's like, we need this to work. How? It's like, I thought you IT people could fix this. No, you made us outsource. Fuck.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't work for outsource. The right corporation to fix this.
And basically. So, wait, my has a 3D printer? Oh, Psycho's giving me shit in the chat room.
Anyway. I know, he just got it for Christmas.
Yeah, I only talked about it every show for like a year. I haven't mentioned 3D printing in a while on Decking, okay?
And let's keep it that way.
I can't. The next story involves 3D printing.
Does it you sent it to 3D me, are you? Printing a knife or a gun?
You sent it to me.
I know.
So, this is from abcnews.au. 3D printed gun. A gun accused manufacturer was a science fiction fanboy, the court hears. A man accused of manufacturing 3D printed guns is a fan of science fiction who let his hobby get out of hand, a Sydney court has heard. Sison Sun, 27, an account manager for an advertising agency, was arrested yesterday when detectives searched his waiver unit in Sydney East following a tip-off. Somebody tattled on this guy. Officers found four imitation pistols, including 3D manufactured semi-automatic Glock pistols and a 3D manufactured SIG pistol, two air pistols, computer equipment, and two 3D printers. Wait a minute. Four imitation pistols, 3D manufactured semi-automatic Glock pistols, and 3D manufactured SIG pistols. So they're not real guns, is what
they're
you're
replicas.
Saying. He had a model of a Glock and a model of a SIG.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that is some I mean, politics level grade A bullshit.
I was arrested for a replica gun.
What are you going to do with a replica gun? Beat somebody to death with it?
Was he threatening somebody with it?
I had a high quality, I paid a couple $100 for it off a dude at a bar. And it was just in my drawer at home. I was at work, and two people knew I had it, and someone knocked me in for having it.
See, now that's you figure out who did it and beat the shit out of him behind the bar.
Bitches get stitches.
Let's just say that I had words with two people, but they did not fuck around. They rocked because I was still 17, I think. 16. Either way, they went to my parents' house and fucking the SWAT team did.
For a replica handgun?
Yeah.
A harmless hunk of plastic.
We went hardcore with banning guns, man. Even like plastic ones.
For God's sake.
It's not even a gun. It's not even a gun.
It just kind of looks like one.
It's not the point. Like, my brother gave, my father gave my brother's kids the Nerf guns at Christmas time, and the mother immediately took them off them and, can't have them. We'll take them back to the shop.
What? I have Nerf gun fights with my nieces and nephews all the time. It is amazing.
You'd be surprised how pussy people are about firearms.
It doesn't matter.
We had a couple of shootings yesterday, and we'll have a couple of shootings today, and tomorrow we'll have a couple of shootings. But all you got to know is that the people that are getting shot fucking deserved it.
Sun was arrested and charged with various offenses related to the manufacturing of firearms using a 3D printer. But they weren't guns. They were models of guns. Oh my God. At a bail hearing at Waverly Local Court this morning, Sun's solicitor, Jameson Keene, said his client was a science fiction fan who got carried away with this hobby. I wanted to imitate the weapons from police shows such as NCIX and video games like Call of Duty. He's been hammered by the pointy end of the Firearms Act. He is captured by provisions clearly designed to target more serious activity. But prosecutors opposed bail, arguing the Sun had not shown cause why he should be released on such serious charges.
I'm not sure they've shown cause on why he should be in jail. It's a fucking plastic toy. It's not like he was manufacturing gun parts that could be used in an actual gun.
I'm gonna start 3D printing a fucking gun now. I'm gonna 3D print one of those Liberator pistols just to do it now.
I have $40. Not like... I want to see you shoot it.
Yeah,
we'll let Static absolutely shoot it. He has a better reputation for surviving death.
And okay, so it's not like he was walking into a convenience store and holding the place up with these replica guns.
No, they're probably on a shelf or something.
Yeah, they were in a storage unit, according to the article.
You know what? I'll bet what's happened is he's gotten a flame war with some other fucking nerd over Star Wars or something, and it's got out of control. He's like, right, I'll get Jason busted. Hello, police. He has firearms.
Because everyone knows Spock was the greatest Jedi.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But prosecutors opposed bail, arguing Sun had not shown cause why he should be released on such serious charges. But charges aren't proof. That's just somebody making an accusation. God, Simply saying he is a fanboy of science fiction, reads comic books, or being a nerd doesn't show cause, the prosecutor argued. But it means we're going to give him a wedgie now. Thanks, Biff. Son was granted bail on the condition he surrender his Australian and Chinese passports. Wow. Actually, that's not that weird. They like to make sure you can't, you know, flee
the
country.
Yeah, I can see him not being a flight risk. I'm fine with that whenever you're facing charges of anything.
Now, offenders face...
Why does he have both a Chinese and
dual
Australian
citizenship
passport?
Well, his last name is Sun.
Our government is incredibly addicted to Chinese underground money and are willing to give them dual citizenship for the right amount of cash. That's what that is.
So, let's see. New South Wales police said it was the first time police had laid a charge of its type in the state. Detective Inspector Joe Douchey. That cannot be his name.
It is.
Joe Douchey said that police were tipped off after Sun allegedly tried to sell a gun on social media.
So it's not slander when I say this guy is very douchey.
D-O-U-E-I-H-I. Douchey. I'm not...
Very douchey. He's very douchey. Not slanderous.
The first time New South Wales police had charged someone with the offense of possessing blueprints to manufacture a firearm, he said. It's a serious criminal offense. It holds a sentence of 20 years. I imagine this guy standing in a full British Bobby uniform, you know, doing the full Monty Python. It's a very serious offense. I mean, you know, I just... Come on.
20 years? 20 years for printing a replica.
New South Wales Police Commissioner warned his interstate counterparts about the technology in 2013. He showed a video of one of the weapons being fired and its barrel exploding. Well, yeah, that's because...
Made of plastic.
It's kind of made of plastic. So...
Made of cheap plastic.
Some of it, yeah, depending on what you buy. So, yeah, I'm probably going to 3D print one out of PLA just to, you know, hand it to somebody and say, here, it's a grenade.
So, yep, that blew up. That was cool.
Yes, I guess it is proof that they're everywhere. There's something worse than where you live. he put in text, y'all, makes me feel less bad about Massachusetts gun laws.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain Australia has Massachusetts beat there. I mean, you know, the whole Second Amendment thing being annoying. I don't really want to get into it, but why don't they just go for a fucking amendment? Anyway.
I'll stand toe-to-toe with you on the fucking thing. I still think the banning of firearms was a good thing by the Australian government.
Well, you also alluded that there are going to be people getting shot, so I don't think it worked.
No. I am glad that they got firearms out of the everyday person's hands. They're only left in the criminal hands.
Well, yeah, because then you can tell who the criminals are.
No,
dude. The only thing they do with those firearms is take each other out. No one uses a firearm to hold up a 7-Eleven or anything like that. Dude, why would you use a fucking $10,000 gun for fucking $300 in a cash register? You know what I mean?
That's so inflated.
I can see that if they're illegal. I mean, it's like some of the old school AR magazines in areas that banned the 30-round clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that, because those things, the price on those shot through the roof.
Exactly. People don't use firearms for stupid shit. Like, if someone gets shot, there's a goddamn fucking reason they got shot.
Good point.
Yeah, there's a logic to that. I like it.
No, I'm fucking deadly serious. You can laugh all you want. There was a woman shot in the back yesterday, and the family aren't upset or anything. They're going, we know who did it, and we're going to fuck them up. They're saying that to the cameras in front of the cops. There's a war going on for the fucking territories of drugs in this country because of the bikie abolition. That is why the average fucking dipshit's getting shot over fucking drugs and stuff. That's why there's a lot of illegal firearms going around, because the bikies got fucking busted. They had to unload their shit. Guns became really cheap for a long time on the black market. And now just the regular... methamphetamine fucking freak who deals has a gun, and they're shooting other meth heads. I have no issue with that. This is great. Problem solving itself. We're getting the guns off the street, and we're getting rid of meth heads.
No issue.
It's solid logic.
The best part about it, I know I can stand in my backyard and not have the fucking next door neighbor accidentally discharge and fucking shoot me.
I've never worried about that.
Dude, you don't live around some of the fucking... We have active catch and release retard program around here. They catch him and they fucking release him around me.
Well, I... Okay, so I'm putting my gun back into my desk.
So I will say that I'm fairly certain I've had some of my neighbors concerned about my gun discharging because, well, it's not terroristic threatening if you don't actually point the shotgun at anybody, but I may have, you know, held it up on the couch when some kids thought they were going to play Ding Dong Ditch.
Do they? Those two people down in Alabama or whatever just got 18 years or something for doing that.
I didn't do anything with it. I just sat there holding it.
They didn't do anything with it either. They just sit in the back of their pickup truck with it. The black person got all offended. Oh, apart from now yelling out white power and die nigger or something like that.
Oh, well, well.
Well, well
yeah. Yeah, I was sitting inside literally watching TV, just happened to be holding it. Mm. Oh, no, officer, I was just, you know, cleaning it.
No, I had some kids decide they were going to jump the fence. This was a couple of houses ago. Jump my fence and go running through my backyard. They were playing fugitive or something like that, hide and, like adult hide and seek almost, because they were kids. And I'm like, I look out and I'm like, there are people in my backyard. AK. And outside I went.
What a rational response!
On the ground now, identify yourselves! Who the fuck are you?
No, I walked out and I, you know, pulled the charging handle. I didn't even have a magazine in the stupid thing.
Oh, you were just threatening with it.
It was like a joke. And like,
it's a distinctive sound. A lot of people run when they hear that sound.
Yeah, two of the kids were real smart and ran real fast. The other three just stood there like a deer in headlights.
Wow.
And in better times, you could have called the gene pool and we would have had more smart children in the future.
Wow.
And they're wondering why we've got an obesity epidemic. You won't even let children fucking run through your yard.
That's true. Well, and I did feel kind of bad afterwards because I was like, wait. I did shit like that. I did shit way worse than that when I was their age.
Oh, sure. I've gotten handguns waved. I got handguns waved at me when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's like, okay, well, fine. We stay out of that yard. That guy's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, you make yourself a mental map. It's like, that guy is insane. Those people are old, so we can hide in their backyard all night.
All right, next article is from BBC.com. Google's troll hunting AI has been fooled by typos. The system from Google's spinoff company Jigsaw, you know, after the Saw movies, I'm not certain that calling your company Jigsaw is such a good idea.
No, it's not.
The system from Google's spinoff company Jigsaw fails to detect words like idiot and stupid as toxic language when misspelled as idiot or stupid. For example, I'm not sure how to pronounce these misspellings, like idiot with two I's or stupid with a period in it. Jigsaw called the tool, said the tool called Perspective was still in development.
One Isn't that Saint said, Upid?
Excuse me?
Saint Wouldn't that Upid, be? Yeah,
Saint Upid.
Saint
yeah.
Upid, you're right. It's Saint yeah. Upid. I did not see that. I was trying to read it as stupid because I knew it was a typo. That's interesting.
Do we have a Saint Upid? Because you can't get rid of that now. You're oppressing me and my religious beliefs.
Jigsaw said the tool called Perspective was still in development. One computer scientist said such systems would always have to adapt to the changing tactics of trolls, or just, you know, their inability to spell. Jigsaw's tool is being developed to help automate the detection of abuse and harassment online. Oh, dear God.
There's an ignore button. You hit the fucking ignore button. That's how you
block,
fix this.
Ban, ignore, leave voice chat, whatever. Perspective scores comments based on the perceived impact a comment might have on a conversation. when researchers from the University of Washington, whose paper has not yet been peer-reviewed, found the system was far from infallible. When the AI grabbed a certain or graded a certain phrase as toxic, almost identical ones could sneak by with just a few creative typos. So the examples are there are liberal idiots who are uneducated with a 90% toxicity score, or they are liberal idiots who are un-period educated, 15% toxicity score. So there are false positive examples as well, which innocent, innocuous phrases such as "it's not stupid" or "wrong" were scored as toxic. So yeah, they're just keyword searching. The findings were welcomed by the company. Yeah, it's free research for them. So anyways, Google has a spinoff company trying to develop a moderator bot, and apparently it's pretty dumb.
They've been trying to do this for ages, and people have just been playing with the words to get around it. Like, they're getting rid of not being able to use the word nigger, so they change it to Google.
Well, I mean, hell, anybody who plays Overwatch knows that if you put, what is it, EZ? Or GG EZ Win? Yeah, something like that. The filter replaces it to, you know, some kind of 1950s insult or something like that. I don't know. But, it's like, you know, so what do? They put a space in it. Or, you know, do two lines. Like, whoop-de-doo. If somebody wants to be a dick, they're going to be a dick, even if the system tries to prevent you from using certain words. You know, you just start learning. Everybody's going to learn to type in leet speak again.
I wonder how fast it's going to adapt to modern slang.
Probably not very fast. But I just found it amusing, and yeah, it's like, well, you know, our word filter doesn't work when people don't know how to spell. So
I just think it's funny that British are paying for this.
So anyways, I just oh dear God, are you, why do you bring this shit in?
Because I like tracking poo on the carpet.
Believe it with that one. Oh, I don't even want to address that. Let's move on. Next is from Ars Technica. Public university lays off 79 IT workers after they train their outsourced replacements. Bitch move.
Mm-hmm.
At the University of California's San Francisco campus, of all places, the, you know, liberal beacon of hope and employment, University of San Francisco, or University of California, San Francisco there, 79 IT employees lost their jobs this week, some of them after explaining to their replacements at Indian outsourcing firm HCL how to do their jobs. The union representing the employees, University Professional and Technical Employees, CWA Local 9119, says it's the first time a public university has offshored American IT jobs. In a statement sent yesterday, UPTE CWA said layoffs could spread since the HCL contracts can be utilized by any of the 10 campuses in the University of California system, the nation's largest public university. U.S. taxes should be used to create jobs in the U.S., not in other countries, said Kurt Ho, a system admin who was quoted in the union's press release. Ho was required to train his replacement as a condition of getting his severance pay.
Oh, that sucks.
That's the Disney model for you.
And that's when you start copying and pasting passwords into a thumb drive.
Or, well, you know, train them wrong.
Yeah.
What's the video? Kung Fu Enter the Fist? We trained him wrong as a joke.
Or, you know, you take a ball bat to a circ farm.
Or, you know, remember that first article where the guy just started nuking shit? Yeah. I think that might have been appropriate.
Fucking boot nuke. Yeah, just go.
D-ban! what's going on with the MC? The oh, shit. The Microsoft server, what's that thing called? MSS... shit. Doesn't matter. You know, one of the nice managers that can, you know, mass deploy. What are you mass deploying?
Derek SCCM? Boot
nuke. SCCM. Thank you.
Yeah.
You hate that shit when you can't remember what it's called because so many fucking acronyms.
Well, and it's only been SCCM the last couple of years, because before that it was
back
SCM, and then there was back office, and then it was, it's because it's the exact same program. It's just they want to be cool and change the name because Microsoft.
Yep. So you know, you go on SCM and deploy Terex Boot and Nuke to the Enterprise, and.
Dicros, in response, that might be a good idea, but I think they're getting around the H-1B visas by just offshoring everything to India with this one.
Yeah, he's right. They're not even bothering with the H-1Bs because they, it's all remote. So,
real estate, you saw. That's all I'm saying.
I've been to a university, and I've been to a fairly large one with a lot of stupid kids in it. And they break things. I broke things. I broke a lot of things.
They're probably keeping some IT on staff to handle the hardware.
Well, yeah, it's going to be like kids who are in the IT program who they hire at minimum wage.
Hire nothing. That'll be a class. Help Desk 101.
This is going to end poorly.
Oh, of course.
Very.
It is.
Actually,
like I said, I would totally train my. If I had to train a replacement and I knew that this is what they were doing, I'd totally fucking train them wrong.
Oh, train them wrong. But the whole class thing, I actually think that would be a good idea. If you were going to downsize your department, I'd still like to keep them in the U.S., but start rotating your IT students through your IT department, because they would getting on the job experience on how to do this shit.
Give it a name like a deep dive.
You know, Madman, I have a problem with that, but it's not. You're not wrong. They would be getting experience and see what it's really like in an IT department. You'd have most of them change majors after that. You would also have a very interesting phenomenon. I have had a real problem with this concept of free IT work for a long time. Now it's been grating on me, where you know you have people who expect, oh, I know him, I'll get him to fix my computer, or you know the unpaid overtime, or just this constant bullshit where, oh, it's IT, it's okay, they'll work 80 hours a week on salary and not get any overtime, or not, have a home life, or be forced to work all hours of the night and still be expected to be at the desk 8 in the morning. Very few other positions, I shouldn't say no other, because there are a few others that get it. Very few other positions in a white-collar office get bent over and ass-rammed like that. So, this idea of getting people to do IT work for free, I mean, sure, rotate them through the program if you want, and maybe even call it an internship. But this concept that no, you can get all kinds of time and labor out of somebody without paying them, shit's got to stop.
Yes,
it's not quite that. You're actually training them. We're not talking someone that knows the job and you're not paying them. This is someone that doesn't know the job that you're teaching.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say unpaid internships.
Yeah, for their students. Somebody bring their students in. And you're now
it's
learning.
Not even
it.
Unpaid, because they're paying money to be at school, and then they're doing work that the school would normally pay someone for.
I don't know. I'd just be worried that you're giving them, training them the idea that, it's okay to do that kind of shit. Actually, but more I'd likely, more you just have a lot about, of change major. So
I'd be more worried about familiarity.
Yeah, that'd be an issue as well.
They're getting to know your network way too quick, way too up close and personal, leaves you vulnerable, especially with infrastructure like a school.
Yeah, your graduates could possibly pwn your network.
Yeah, that's all.
That
is
being an issue.
I could see that would be an issue. And then you'd have to put layers of security in on that. I think you're actually creating a lot more headaches than you're actually helping people.
Yeah,
but hey, don't worry about it. They have this big company in India that's taking care of all of that for them.
There you go.
So, here we go. In a statement on the matter, UCSF said that it was pushed to hire outside contractors due to the increased demand for information technology and the escalating costs of these services. The university says it will save more than $30 million by hiring HCL after seeing IT costs nearly triple between 2011 and 2016, driven by the introduction of the electronic medical record and increasing digital connectivity.
So in all the last 15 to 20 years, the ramp up of mobile phones and faster internet speeds and quicker processors, yeah, you didn't see the price going up for, you know, specialties? You're telling me that. That's what they're bringing to the board going, look, sorry, we've got to cut all these jobs. We just did not see or anticipate, you know, the idea and the demand for easy access to high-speed data.
Yeah, you see, we didn't realize it was still a growing industry. We thought it was an established industry, like accounting or, you know, HR.
We only budgeted for three people for the next 250 years. This shit isn't going to change.
We were just going to get our nephews and our kids who knew what they were doing to do it. We weren't actually going to pay anybody. Turns out these people want to get paid when they work. It's weird.
And shit works for NASA and that, those old computers, you know, we'll just keep our Dells that we've got now and, you know, $5,000 for IT for the next 50 years. Like, don't fucking come at me with that bullshit that, oh, we just didn't see this coming. If you didn't see it coming, you don't deserve to be in fucking business to start with. Fuck, it's an excuse to lay off a shit ton of people, save some money, and outsource it to India.
Yeah, the article goes on with them, you know, getting into specifics how half of them are actual employees, the other half are contractors, and they might have some open positions that they're just not going to fill, and they're not using H-1B visas because, you know, they're remote support. So, yeah, controversial for months, drawn ire from politicians. Yeah, you got all kinds of people pissed about this because it's exactly shit Trump campaigned on, so kind of hand it, you know, in a Democrat controlled state, they're kind of proving his point.
don't try and fly that shit that we didn't see this coming.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the internet's the next big thing, but, you know, we're not actually going to pay for it. God, no. We're just going to, you know, take the same IT people we have, expect them to work 80 hours a week and overtime unpaid, and yeah, we're not. We're gonna. You know, we've partnered with our new strategic hardware provider, eBay, and.
But Morps, I don't get it. You like computers, man. So doing all this overtime is just fun for you, right?
Well, you know, sure, when you're 20 and learning.
Exactly.
You know, when you actually want it to be a career, and, you know, it's a day job.
That's the kind of crap I got working that other job, man. Like, oh, can you just, like, fucking stay back and fix this and that with that monitor and fucking photocopier? Because you like technology. It's fun, isn't it? No, I like drinking more than that. I want to go home and drink.
Sure. What's the overtime rate? Oh, you wanted to get paid?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
stay over and do work. Yeah, no. But we still need it done. So you need it done, but you're not willing to pay for it? Yeah, that's right. See you. Bye.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Guess what shit didn't get done? Yeah, and the IT guy wasn't, you know, pulling his weight, so we had to let him go. that's usually how that goes. It's
Kevin.
Fucking bullshit. So, a little pet peeve of mine that's been driving me nuts lately, so there's not enough IT people. Fight back. Anyways, next up is from the independent.co.uk. Is mildly amusing to me just because it's something you almost never see. Yahoo's chief executive Marissa Mayer will not receive her 2016 cash bonus, while the company's top lawyer Ronald Bell has resigned following their mishandling of security breaches which compromised personal data of millions. In addition to forfeiting the bonus of around $2 million, Ms. Mayer is voluntarily foregoing stock options worth millions, calling for the money to be shared among the companies 8,500 staff. Well, the board has accepted her offer. It's not clear whether the money will actually be redistributed. In late 2014, senior executives and relevant legal staff were aware that a state-sponsored actor had accessed certain user accounts by exploiting the company's account management tool. In 2014, security incident was not properly investigated. Blah, 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 blah. Yahoo's had a turbulent few years. So basically, We're actually seeing a CEO get punished for a security breach. That shit is rare. In Yahoo's case, it's because it made the news. I guarantee you, if their hacks were buried a little bit better, you would have gotten that bonus. No, it's PR.
But, oh, absolutely it is.
It's nice to see someone actually, you know, having a bit of a responsibility there for
someone who had the power to possibly do something, getting in trouble.
Yeah, and like Psychos pointed out, she volunteered it. So, but it's rare that you see that shit.
So. Yeah, so this to me sounds more like PR than it does PR. Actually anything relevant. It's like, yeah, she didn't get this bonus, but she still probably got 2 years of her house paid off or whatever instead of her taking this bonus. Guaranteed she didn't do it.
But the reason I care about this article is I can go to my CIO, be like, look, their CEO didn't get a bonus because they're not doing their security right.
That's a good point.
So, it's less about it being an actual, real, factual event, and more about I can use this as leverage.
They may listen to me now.
That
it's like you don't want your bonuses in jeopardy because you're not doing your shit right, right? So. And let's see. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's totally marketing. But other than that, I got one last story here. And this is from Time.com. And it is kind of comical. And I was really hoping to hear. I think you had to. Yeah, he's gone off on us. Hopefully he'll be back to wrap up. But I was really hoping to get his take and your take on this one, Mad Ben. New Zealand will give you a free trip if you agree to a job interview. The tech industry in Wellington, New Zealand, is actively looking to recruit tech experts from around the world. They're offering a free trip to the country for anyone who can prove their merit. The city is looking to bring in 100 new software developers, creative directors, product managers, analysts, and digital strategists from around the world to invigorate the country's growing tech scene. In order to entice techies to move to the island, Wellington is hoping to host a global talent attraction program. The city will host 100 candidates for a free week-long trip where techies can participate in job interviews and get to go to New Zealand. The trip will include pre-arranged job interviews, meetups with others in the tech industry, and trips around Wellington. So the government of New Zealand is actually flying tech people in to go to job interviews.
It's a first-world country willing to pay you to move there and do a job. See what they're offering.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Like,
sign me up.
Yeah. Could all go to a meetup on the guise of, getting a free trip to New Zealand.
So, those who are interested in moving to New Zealand for a tech job can start by registering their interest online with the Look-See Wellington and creating a profile. Then tech firms around the city will nominate their favorite candidates. At the end of the admission process, Look-See will choose 100 of the most nominated candidates and set them up with a weekend-long trip to Wellington, complete with airfare and accommodations. Once in New Zealand, candidates will participate in pre-arranged job interviews with some of Wellington's leading tech firms. Candidates will also have to participate in meetups and explorations around the city, or have time to participate in meetups. Look-See Wellington will also host an informational event to help potential immigrants understand the process of moving to New Zealand.
Okay, I can see a few things here. All right. Number one, what generally happens when you have a bunch of IT guys meet up together in meet space for a convention? Drunk. Yes. How badly are these interviews going to be?
They're going to get drunk. They're going to go to strip shows, and there's going to be a LAN party, possibly at a strip club with booze.
Yes, this is not what New Zealand thinks it's going to be.
And then there's going to be two or three security professionals who are then going to own everybody.
Yep. Oh, this is going to be great, New Zealand. Look forward to hearing how this works out.
When is it? May 11th to 8th to 11th. Oh, fuck. This might be worth signing up to just to see if you happen to get a free trip out of the week, get a free weekend out of it.
Yeah, you have until March 20.
You're thinking about it, aren't you?
I'm signing up as we speak.
Yeah, sign up, man. Even if you don't get a job over there, just $200, fly it over the puddle to me and fucking party here for a month.
Fuck.
Yeah, well, I may do that too. Man, we'll see.
There's always room here for you, Syntax. Always said that.
Yeah. The current title. Can I make up the title?
If you own your own business, yes.
And I do.
I am currently the Lord Commander of the bathroom. No, wait.
So I had probably one of the greatest job titles a couple of years ago. So it was the Minister of Compliance.
Nice.
Yeah, yes, you dummy. Please fill out the paperwork. Then you
spiritual advisor. Spiritual advisor to the Snap-on bench.
Oh shit. Alright, let's do this. Alright, I've only got one thing for Digital Dojo tonight, but it's pretty cool. It's an online set of labs specifically for breaking into Amazon accounts and securing AWS stuff. You know, so if you're bored of looking up, say, AWS access keys on GitHub, which works surprisingly often. Do you know how many fucking SSH keys I found on GitHub the other day? Like 25? A lot. Well, I mean, the search results were like over 10 pages. So I was like, what the fuck? Most of them were in deleted commits. So it's like, nope. They didn't change a key, though. Or at least the two I checked. Stopping talking. Anyways, so flaws. It's at flaws.cloud. It is the flaws challenge. Through a series of levels, you'll learn about common mistakes and gotchas when using Amazon Web Services. There are no SQL injections, cross-site scripting, buffer overflow, and many of the other vulnerabilities you're used to seeing. As much as possible, these are only AWS-specific issues. A series of hints are provided. They'll teach you how to discover the info you'll need. If you don't want to actually run any of the commands, you can just keep following the hints, which will eventually give you the solution so you can go to the next level. At the start of each level, you'll learn how to avoid the problem on the previous level. So everything is run out of a single AWS account, and all challenges are subdomains of the flaws.cloud domain. So put together by Scott Piper, and he's got a in summitroute.com, so he's got a feedback email there. And it literally starts out with just figuring out the name of the bucket that the web page is running in, and goes from there. So it's pretty interesting for when it comes to actually securing AWS and maybe learning a little bit about it. So if you're dealing with cloud stuff, this is a fun exercise to look at. I started to poke at it. I haven't had that much time to dig through it as much as I'd like. But it's a good little set of challenges to go through if you need to, you know, figure out how to, you know, say, keep an eye on what your developers are doing with fucking AWS buckets and make sure they're not lying to you about what they're publishing in it. Not that I'm bitter.
Not at all.
God, the shit I found in there. It's like, that's a public AWS bucket. What the fuck are you doing?
The Looksee Wellington site is down.
Did we knock it over?
I don't know. Two people visit it? Holy shit, they really do need IT help.
Yeah, it says, we registered your interest and we will get in touch when the candidate registration site is up and running again.
Oh, they really do need help. So, Looksee Wellington, register now. See if it's different for me. Just because I'm on a different... So, let's see. Do. Should I use my personal email or my work email?
I use my personal. I'm not putting my work email on something that I'm going to email on.
I got contacted by a recruiter on my work email. Which, one, that's comical enough as it is. But, two... it's for a LinkedIn account that I accidentally created because we had a former employee like spam a whole bunch of the IT people. And, you know, you click the link to see what it does and it makes an account for that email address. And so Yeah, it's like I have this blank LinkedIn account that I've never logged into except like the once. And I, you know, get contacted from a recruiter on it. It's like, how good of a recruiter are you if you're contacting a blank LinkedIn account, probably based off job title? I mean,
more of a scam than a recruit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, most recruiters are scams anyway.
Yeah, meat pushers. But so I don't know. I just thought it was funny as hell. Thank you, expression. Yep, it's down.
Wow. Yeah, they really need IT help. If the two of us logging on to their knocked over their server.
Oh, it's more along the line. I'm just thinking along the lines. It's like I'm not actually interested in any jobs or moving. It's more just free trip. You know, I mean, hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be amazing. We could do decking from New Zealand.
Oh fuck, that'd be awesome. Except it's New Zealand. Do they even have internet?
Yeah.
They're building it. That's what you're being recruited for. What do you think they want the text for?
I mean,
also, one of the reasons why you can't sign up for it right now. You haven't got there to fix it yet.
You got a lot of people going, I want a free trip. I work in IT. I'll do some stupid interviews. I want to go get drunk in New Zealand.
Yeah, with the Hobbit.
With the Hobbit, absolutely.
All right, let's see.
What's Kim Kardashian got to do with any of this?
Save us. I see what you did there, South Park.
That was not the...
Toasty!
There it is. So, that's all I've really got. I don't know. Are you? You got anything you want to close out with?
Just a sad week last week. Bill Paxton passing on.
That's it, man.
At a young age.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Yeah, he wasn't that old.
He's like 61, I think. 51.
Yeah.
Was it like a surgery went bad or something?
Yeah, he went had a heart valve surgery. And, yeah, he was quoted as saying he was pretty nervous but confident. And it looks like he's just had what can happen to anyone with that sort of surgery is blood clot detached from the heart wall and straight to the brain, stroked him out.
But, that sucks.
Yep. He was doing good work still, too. That's the bit that pissed me off. He was still really good on his craft. He was doing Training Day, the television series. Anyway.
You got anything, Madman?
No, I don't.
Syntax?
No, except that the Wellington site is hosted in the United States, which I think is hilarious. It's probably hosted on
S3.
Yeah, it's probably on S3.
Oops, they got everything up but Wellington. They didn't want them scalping any of their talent.
Well, hell. There's going to be some talent for them to scalp.
Tell you what, though, if we do go, we'll have to ask them for... No, we won't. Never mind. It's going to make a bad joke. It's like, we have to make sure we order some beef Wellington while we're down there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, that's the appropriate response to that bad joke. Anyways, that's all I've got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure decking every Thursday. The site has been redesigned. I've got some ideas for a new site. I've just got to get away from the crazy long enough to work on my own crazy. And, that's all I've got. So.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.